This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots on ABC Radio Perth and WA, the ABC Listen app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, one and all. Christine Layton filling in for Amber Cunningham, who has the dreaded lurgy, but a standard lurgy, nothing worse. And, of course, Sabrina Hunt is in the studios.
Yay! Uh-oh. And I get to work with Steens again.
Oh, so exciting. Oh, I sound so desperate when I say yes to these shifts because I don't even listen to poor Mel's words from HR, because lovely. So, yes, Amber will be back next week. But your birthday is next Saturday.
Yeah, I'll be coming in. I'll be on fire. 70, the big 70, which I have to say is remarkable considering all the harebrained things I've done over my lifetime.
Tell me some of those. Go on.
But no, we don't have long enough in this segment. But you know what? I reckon it's great. I know a lot of people moan and go, I reckon it's all in your head. You've got to have the attitude of, I've got another probably 10 prime years. Then after that, 10 less prime. And then after that, probably down in the gutter prime. But do you know what? Every day, if you are healthy and you are upright, every day is a good day as long as you realise that you have choices in life and you make them, and some choices will be good and others perhaps not so. Open the second bottle of wine. You got to think to yourself, this was not a good choice.
But you can now recycle the wine bottles after the 1st of July. At
I know.
If you need something.
Yeah, another 10 cents.
Yep. Keep you going. That's what it is. All right. Let's light up the phones. 1300 222 720. 1300 222 720. Sabby, can we talk about sudden branch drop?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So sudden branch drop. We live near a park, and my husband and I and the kids were sitting in the lounge room, and we heard this massive thud. Like I thought a building had been knocked down, it was a massive branch from a tree that looked completely healthy.
Yep.
And I rushed outside to see if there are any birds trapped underneath, and thankfully there wasn't. Mm. It's a thing that happens in summer, right?
Yeah, yeah. So people think that branches, most of the felled branches happen in winter with storms. But it's actually summertime, particularly with certain groups of eucalypts, and it's a stress reaction. So because the plant is under stress for, you know, it can be lack of water, it can be a drop in the water table, it can be insect or pathogen driven. So they'll drop branches to try and alleviate the amount of stress that's going on to pump up water and nutrients to the entire plant. So they've found too that the whole underground water system in Perth is connected. So when they've found that in new suburbs where they're dewatering to build in new suburbs, the suburbs adjacent to that where they've planted trees, say, 5 years ago, they all die because the water is pulled from this source, which affects all the other groundwater that connects up.
Is that pulled out of the water table?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and that's happening very much so up in the northern suburbs, where they've finished a development and they've put all the trees in, the trees have been growing, dewatering, the next development, all the trees die.
Yeah, it's horrible. I just couldn't believe the sound it made. It was so loud, and I was really grateful no one was underneath. So, yeah, good to know that's a summer thing. Yay! give us a call, 1300 222 720. Don't wait until 5 minutes to news.
No.
Call us right now, and you can say happy birthday in advance.
Yeah,
you can sing Sabby a song.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we're getting some texts. Susie said, based on this photo, I'm just wondering what has happened to the leaves on my Banksia. Mainly at the top of the tree, they have these lumps on them. The tree is well established now after 4 years and it's starting to flower. What is that?
Okay, so the picture we're looking at is it looks like the leaf of the Banksia has warts.
Yes.
Basically, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
So now they are called galls. They're leaf galls. They can be caused by an insect or they can be caused by a bacteria. So in this instance, I would say it's an insect. So the gall is formed by the plant in reaction to whatever has drilled into the leaf or if there's a pathogen into the leaf. So if it's an insect, of course, if you cut those leaves off and bin them, then you're getting rid of the vector of the insect that's going to do it again. So just pruning the leaves off is effective. There's nothing that you can spray or do to the leaf that will kill the insect or perhaps help the pathogen. So lots of Banksias are susceptible to lots of different galls, so just cut the leaves off and bin them.
Okay, and it won't affect the flowering in any way?
No, not at all.
Okay, no. That's good. Oh, no. It's so exciting when you see the Banksia buds because you wait so long.
And they slowly unfurl. It's beautiful.
It is. It's very cool. Speaking of which, we've got a question about a bull Banksia that's looking unwell. Lyndall is in Darlington. Good morning, Lyndall.
Good morning. How are you?
We're fabulous, Lyndall.
Excellent. Happy birthday for the upcoming weekend.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
tell us what is going on with your Banksia grandis.
So it's about 3 or 4 years old and it was looking lush and lovely. And just over the past few weeks, all the leaves have lost all their colour and have started to fold in on each other.
Now, that's obviously not a good sign. Now, I do have to tell you, Lyndall, that Banksias are very fickle and they are prone to dying fairly, about 50% of the time. They are very specific to soil type. Is it on heavy soil? Are you on clay and rock?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
They're not going to like that, unfortunately.
Okay.
How about the deep watering? Okay. Remember how you told me about the deep watering?
Yeah, but the problem with clay is it holds on to the deep watering a bit too much.
Oh.
Okay.
So but usually once they lose their colour and they're on the way out, and they tend to die really quickly.
Yeah, it's happened pretty quick.
Yeah, I'm afraid there's no resurrection for that one.
Okay, we'll say goodbye to her.
Sorry, Lyndall.
Oh, Lyndall.
That's okay.
I know that feeling. I had a
you could try a different type of Banksia. There's a nursery up in the hills that specialise in Banksias for the heavier soil, so I'd take a visit there.
Yeah.
Put in a hakea.
Definitely. I adopted a Banksia near the gym. It looked like it had been planted by a council that's not mine, and they just left it there.
Oh.
And it looked so thirsty, and I said to it, you know what, every time I come to the gym I'm going to
give you a little water.
Empty my water bottle onto you.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So is it still alive?
It is.
Ah, yeah. Marvellous.
There you go. Adopt a Banksia and then get done for trespassing. 1300 222 720. All right, let's go to, we've got Claire in Wembley Downs. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning.
Hi,
thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have a silver princess in my garden that's about 5 or 6 years old, beautiful tree, but it's always been on an incredible lean.
Yeah.
And it's now going all the way out over the garden, which is fine.
Yeah.
But it's starting to shoot from the base.
Yeah.
And I know that they kind of do that if you chop them down.
Yeah.
But is it a sign that the base is getting a bit rocky and it's getting under stress and that's why it's starting to shoot? Or is that just normal for it to do it?
Well, because the silver princess has a tuber, they shoot from there. So, and it's usually a stress factor. So either fire or other kinds of stress. So if the silver princess has been on a big lean and it's a bit wibbly wobbly, then it's going to shoot out from the base. So you can either, how old is it?
For about 6 years.
Okay. 6 years. Because I was going to say you don't prune them down to near the ground level until they're at least 5 years old, otherwise they can die. So at the end of summer, if you stake a silver princess really tightly right from the word go, then you're never going to get a strong tree. It'll always be because of the nature of the tree. So you can cut it down. So you can cut it 10 centimetres from the ground and it will shoot from that lignotuber and you will get a multi-stemmed mallee from it.
If I don't want to cut it down,
okay. If you
shooting, does that mean that it's going to fall over?
No, but what you will need to do is take the weight off all the branches. Leave the lignotuber to leave the shoot that's coming from the base. Let it grow.
Okay.
And then take the weight off the existing trunk and branches.
Okay. At the end of summer.
Yep, at the end of summer.
And will that send the energy back up the tree?
Yeah, but it'll also help those the suckers from the base of the lignotuber to grow up, and don't stake them. They will create their own strength.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, Claire. 1300-222-720. Nick in Geraldton, I've collected some seed off my Banksia integrifolia. Any tips for propagating? Smoke water required?
Banksia integrifolia, which comes from the eastern states, is one of the easiest Banksias to grow and also to germinate. Smoke water really, really does help, absolutely. So you can buy it in a bottle and soak it in that. Mm-hmm. They do very well all around Australia.
And is bore water okay for natives whilst we're on it?
Yep. Now, depending on where you are, they're in Jandakot. So your bore water is going to be quite alkaline. So don't overuse it. No more than twice a week. And your Banksias are not going to need more than that anyway. They're absolutely fine.
Very good. All right. Let's go to Dawn, who's in Gibson near Esperance. Hello, Dawn.
Good morning, girls.
Morning, Dawn. Now, how is Gibson? My ex-partner used to play cricket at Gibson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fantastic. It's beautiful, hot.
Yep.
I finally got some fruit on my dwarf hass avocado.
Awesome.
Is there anything that I've got to do? I'm just foliar spraying. Any more I need to do?
No. That's it. Just keep the water up, Dawn.
Yes, perfect.
That's okay. It. And it's a beautiful, it's really gorgeous countryside around Gibson.
Oh,
it's stunning.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And well done on getting the avocado to fruit.
Yes, great views to enjoy the avocado. Now,
yeah.
Was your partner at the time any good at cricket? Batter, bowler?
Yeah, he's a bowler.
Interesting. Good. I love cricket. All right, let's move on. Gary is in Denham. I like that we're getting a spread of the state.
We are, aren't we? We're going north, south, east and west. Yes, hello, Gary.
Little platter.
Good morning. How are things there?
Oh, so marvellous.
Yeah, well, just picking up on your eucalyptus. It's another fracture one that causes with branches to drop.
Right.
Yeah, it's called fracture growth ring.
Ooh, what's that?
Oh, okay, yeah, explain what that is.
It starts many years earlier and it keeps spreading each growth ring outwards. It just delaminates all the growth rings and then it snaps off like a saw cut.
Right. So it's sort of, so what it's doing is it's already priming itself for self-healing when the branch drops off.
No, it's not.
No?
No, it just keeps spreading out. There's nothing to hold fluid together again.
So it makes it really weak.
Yes, and then it drops. With any winter, summer, they can just drop like it.
Oh.
Without any warning.
And pruning a certain way, does that make it worse or make it
We worked it out. It was mainly caused strong winds whipping it.
Yeah, right.
Causing it when it was younger.
Are whipping it so that it moves around a lot.
Yeah, and then it was fractured, the growth ring.
Ah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, Gary, while you're there, does that cause, you know, when you see particularly lemon-scented gums and they have all that, all the curves in the trunk, is that from wind as well?
Yeah, in the early days. Or
yeah, when they're young, when they're saplings.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you quite often see that in the lemon-scented gums because they have that beautiful smooth bark.
Yeah.
So, oh, well, that's really interesting, yeah. Gary. Thank you very much.
And he's a he's actually in the industry, so he's a horticulture worker.
Yeah.
I could tell that you both sussed each other out very quickly and kind of knew, and it just goes to show that childhood trauma matters even if you are
a tree.
Or a tree, yeah. Exactly. You don't just shake it. Rochelle is in Floriat. Good morning, Rochelle. Oh, are you there? Oh, I did the wrong one. That's my fault, Rochelle. Let's start again. Hello. No, she's at, no,
oh,
she dropped off. So now
she's gone.
We're even. That's okay. I deserve that. Let's go to Louise in Belmont. Hello, Louise.
Hi, Christine and Sabrina.
Hi.
Hello. I just wanted to ask a question following on from the lady who talked about her silver princess.
Yeah.
I bought a silver princess. I can't actually remember how old it is, but I think it's about similar age, 5 to 6 years old. And what I didn't realise was that it's the subspecies Magna.
Yep.
So, because I thought that all the silver princes did the copsing and, you know, the multi-stemmed from the very beginning. Mine hasn't. It's a big stem. It's a beautiful tree, but unfortunately, where I live, there are neighbours who don't like trees.
Oh.
So trying to, accommodate my garden plus neighbour's garden, I had to chop branches off, so it looks a little bit horrible.
But yep.
My question was, can you cut the subspecies Magna right down, and will they copse?
They should. They should coppice. Because it's a hybridization. There will always be a change in something within the plant once they're hybridized. I can't imagine that they wouldn't. That you wouldn't be able to coppice them.
Okay. I'm just wondering if it's worth taking the risk, because it is a beautiful tree, and I get the white-tailed cockatoos coming.
Oh, yeah.
So,
look, you know what I do first, Louise? I would just prune your neighbours that prefer to live in the Sahara Desert. Just prune back those branches a little bit. No, that was unkind. Prune back those branches. You know, you could try and take off 50%. See how that goes. And then that really unbalances the tree. There's a silver princess that's around the corner from me that I've watched the people prune it over a period of 10 years now, and it was a very, very, really wobbly, gangly tree. And so what they did was they selected a third of the branches each every 2 years, and they would prune a third of the branches back, and it's a beautiful tree now.
Ooh.
So I think persevere over it and look at it as over a longer period of time, and just take two or three branches back and leave the others, and then do that gradually over a period of years.
Okay. Yep. All right. That's great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
good luck, Louise.
Louise.
It takes such bravery. I've only just started to tip prune. It scares me. I feel like I'm going to kill them.
You can't prune. Look, for anyone that's got a eucalypt, two things that give you a much better shape. The first thing is you prune off the lower branches and you deep stem plant.
Okay.
So where you've bought it in the pot, you're going to plant it much deeper than that. That's the first thing. The second thing is when they're young, you tip prune them for the first 3 years.
Oh.
So you take the top leaves off. You get a much better shape. The trunk is much stronger and it won't wobble, and you usually don't have to stake them at all.
Okay, I've got to get home now to sort this out. My princess is looking really... anyway, let's go to Juliet in Albany. Now, Juliet, you've sent us some photos and I will work hard to find them. What's happening to your tomato plant?
Hi, Sabrina. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I have grown some beautiful heirloom tomatoes this year. And the leaves on the bottom, I did send in a couple of photos.
Yeah, we're just
the leaves on the very
trying to find them. Well, keep talking. Okay. We're trying to find them.
Paint a word picture for us. Yep.
Okay, so the leaves on the very bottom have turned yellow. The
green. Yep.
Yeah. So, and it's just very gradually moving up the plant, and I feel like I'm in a race to ripen my tomatoes before it goes yellow.
Okay, so that is a major nutrient deficiency. So you have a trace element deficiency. So you have a manganese and iron deficiency in your tomatoes. Now, you can buy manganese and iron already combined in a liquid fertilizer that they make for lawns. So it'll have manganese, magnesium and iron, and they make it for lawns. It's liquid, and that means it's you pour it over the leaves of your tomato and drench the ground with it. And that's going to be the easiest way of getting the nutrients back. They'll absorb it through the leaf tissue. And if you can get it on the underneath of the leaves, even better, because that's where the stomata is. The stomata in your tomato.
Ah,
so, so that's all that seems to be a problem with it. May have a little bit of mite damage. But anyway, deal with the nutrient deficiency first. So go and get the stuff that's for lawns with, you know, it'll have iron, magnesium, manganese in it.
All right. Good luck, Juliet. Nice to have a call from Albany. Let's go to Alex, who's in Caranup. Hi, Alex.
Good morning, Christine, and good morning.
Sabrina.
Nice to have you.
Sabrina. Yeah, oh, I knew I just said
that.
That's never happened. Yes.
I've sent you an image there. Oh. I'm sorry, Sabrina, it's a lemon tree.
Okay. Oh, no, that's all right. We don't mind. We don't mind. You're my first lemon tree question today,
Yay.
Alex.
Alex knows what that means, but that's okay.
So I want to know what's going on with that trunk, and do I have to paint it with white paint? And if I do, what sort of white paint is it?
Okay, so I wouldn't be painting it with white paint. I would be painting it with collar rot paint, okay? So your tree, at the base of the tree, it has cracking and peeling bark. So it's got what's called collar rot because it happens around the base of the plant. And it is a fungus that is like similar to dieback. Similar to Phytophthora. Yeah. So what you need to do is get a paint scraper or a chisel or something and scrape away that peeling bark. Then you're going to get a fungicide that is for collar rot on citrus.
Okay.
It will actually lead you to that. From the front of the bottle, because it will mention collar rot and it will have a picture of a citrus tree on it.
That was a very valid lemon tree question.
Yes, it was. So you're going to spray the tree with it and then you're going to mix it into a paste and paint the bottom of the tree where you've taken away that cracking bark.
All right. There you go, Alex. Now let's go to Graham in Gibson near Esperance. And that's my fault because we already had a call from Gibson.
Yeah.
I thought it was this.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's my fault, Graham. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Right.
Yeah, that's on me. Tell us all about your rabbits.
Good morning, ladies, and thank you for your show.
It's my pleasure.
I've had rabbits attacking the lower stems of like olive tree and the other fruit trees. I'm just wondering what to put on the damage that's been done.
Oh, okay. Now, have they chewed through to the cambium layer? Or
yeah,
they've just
fierce, so, yeah.
Wow, fierce.
Leaping
very
lizards.
Hungry.
Yeah. Are they big? The rabbits, how old are they?
Are they? Oh, they range in many ages.
Oh, right. I see what's going on. They're
we're
not
inundated. We're inundated with them at the moment. It's obviously good soil digging around.
I had my city brain on for a minute there. The, yeah.
Oh, they make beautiful gloves.
Excuse me.
So, now, if they've chewed all the way around, there's very little you can do. Yep. If they've
lucky
only
enough,
chewed.
They
okay, so they've just chewed a section of the...
Yeah.
Okay. All you can do is actually wrap a... It's a plastic... It's similar to the stuff they use for reticulation.
Yeah.
So you need something that stretches. You know the white tape they use for retic?
Yep.
So that will actually stretch as the tree regrows.
Oh.
Yep. So I would either use grafting tape that's stretching mm-hmm. or that white irrigation tape around the base. Now, what some people do for rabbit attack is they get the, you know, the polystyrene oh, I nearly had it in my brain.
Oh,
it
not
went.
The pool noodles.
Yeah, the noodles, Donk. The pool noodles.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Put a slit down it and wrap it around the trees and tie it with cable ties.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Have a look at that.
It's a cheap way of protecting the trunk of the trees. Now, the rabbits don't like it because the foam gets... It's like they have to go and find dental floss to get the little bits of foam out between their teeth.
The entertainment's going to be great, Graham.
I've actually put gutter guard all around most of them now to
that's good.
To stop that.
I did have an old timer once that told me a story. I'll tell you the story, Graham. He said, "What we do here in the country is we put bricks, lay bricks around the base of the plant, and then we just get freshly ground pepper, put it on top of the bricks. The rabbits come along, sniff the bricks, go achoo, and knock themselves out when they hit their head on the brick." So you could try that as well, Graham, and get one of those wildlife cameras.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Graham.
Okay.
Much.
Thanks, Graham.
See, that was worth the wait, Graham. What a trifecta. Now, we do have Sab's Pick of the Week, which has returned.
Yes!
But I messed up and also kept Rochelle from Florida grading. Although
Rochelle.
She did hang up on me. And, you know, we'll call it even, won't we, Rochelle? Sorry about that. You're here. We found you. What's going on with your lemon tree?
Oh, look, I suspect it's because I'm not a particularly good garden person, which my mother will reinforce strongly.
Yeah.
I'm in a rental. We have what I would consider to be an aged lemon tree.
Yeah.
That was having lovely lemons up until about a month ago. And I came out to collect some and noticed that they were actually dying on the tree, which I didn't give a lot more thought to, I have to admit.
Mm.
And then about a week ago, I noticed that the tree looked like it was pretty much dead. It's still got green, so if I snap a little branch, it's green.
Yeah.
But all the leaves are dead. They look dead. The two trees planted next to it and the little bit of garden in that garden bed are all green and lovely, but it's not. And so, no pressure, but you're my consultant for what I then do, and if it then dies, I'm going to be in my rental agreement blaming you, Sabrina, but... You know.
Oh, you poor thing. Now, is it dying?
I don't know what to do.
Oh, you poor darling.
That should not be part of the rental agreement.
No way.
No, I'm being
facetious.
Oh,
okay. It's so sad to live in fear like that. Yeah.
Okay, so is it dying from the top down or the bottom up?
Oh, I have absolutely no idea.
Right. Okay,
so. How do you know that?
You'll see all the lower branches start dying, not the top ones.
Or is it caught up in the middle?
I would say it's a holistic dying process.
Okay. Ooh, it doesn't sound good, Rochelle. Now, so what I want you to do, go and get a wetting agent and go and get a seaweed solution. mix it together in a watering can, drench the soil and water it in really, really well. Stand there with the hose, okay?
Okay.
Because it's not going to be that it's too wet and it's not draining because you're in Florida. So it could be that. Then go and get 2 bags of compost, 2 bags of cow manure, mix it together and use that as a mulch on top and water again. Okay, make sure the mulch and the poo does not go near the trunk of the tree.
And should I prune it? That was the question we were unsure about.
Yeah.
And it's done that thing where it's shot out last. It looks like it's, you know, my last breath. It's shot out.
Fruit. Well, at least there's some cambium flow. So that's a good thing.
Yes. Let us know, Rochelle. I'm invested. We are going to do Pick of the Week. Definitely have to get to your song, Sabrina Hahn. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
That time again. It is. Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here we go now.
That's the voice of Charlotte Hamlin, who used to be on with Jamie Burnett, and they started this, right?
They did, and it's lovely hearing Charlotte's voice again.
It is. And now you're going to upset everyone with some beats, and I love it. What did you pick?
Yeah, well, now, people don't know, but my older brother, who's visiting from Sydney for my birthday, he was a drummer in a band. So I've always loved drumming because he used to, his whole childhood, he just drummed on everything. So this is dedicated to my bro, Rod, who's here from New South Wales. I thought I'd get him a little very fantastic Australian Melbourne performer, G Flip, who actually is an amazing drummer herself. And this is called Bed on Fire, people.
Oh, here it comes. Give us a call. 1300 222 720. Let us know what you think as well. Yes, G Flip, Bed on Fire. Sabrina's pick of the week. Tell you what, the text line's going off now, Sabby.
They're loving it.
Yeah, look at that. Heather and Jalora, awesome song choice. Fiona and Geraldton, Pick of the Week is back in caps lock. She loves it. And Janice as well. Good to hear it's back. Love her big, weird at times selection of music. Full stop. You know, full stops are taken as aggressive now by the next generation. I don't want them to feel that way. Yeah.
How sooky, sooky,
Because it's very final. It feels very final, but it shouldn't.
No, it's actually the intonation of what you're saying. It's like.
And I use it when I'm telling my husband off, but, you know, whatever. But, yeah, it's interesting.
Don't be frightened by the exclamation mark, people. There's a lot of scarier things in the world than that.
I wonder if G Flip uses a full stop. Anyway, I'll find out. Now, a text came in. Oh, where did it go? We've had too many. It's gone down the queue. Hi, Sabrina and Amanda. I won
Amanda.
A prize. Yeah, I'll take that.
Yep.
I need a change. I won a prize at the Hurricane Paddling Club. That's cool. You came out to see my place in Dianella for a consult. You recommended planting Brainia ironstones along the fence, which are doing well.
Yep.
My question is what I do now. Am I supposed to prune them and how well do I feed them?
Yes, Roz. So, yes, you do prune them. So Brainia ironstone is better if it is pruned, in fact, which you do at the end of summer. So really April is the best time. You can prune them as much or as little as you want. You can take 50% off and then you give them – they actually really love blood and bone. So give them blood and bone.
I heard your tip last week about using it on the leaves. You don't waste a leaf and it just eats it all up. Because my cottonwoods are just feral.
Feral. Yeah, nice
one. Janine said, the Molly Meldrum of the gardening world. Love it. Janine and Coogee. And thank you for the text saying nice to have you back. I come in when Mitchell, my son, allows me, not the cyclone, which we will talk about soon as well.
Yes, there is one brewing and it seems to be brewing a very strong brew at present.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll talk about that soon. 1300 222 720. Tess is in Maylands. Hello, Tess.
Hi, Sabrina. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Hi, I've got a, I've forgotten what it's called now. Anyway,
Silver
a
Princess?
Coral gum. Oh, coral gum.
Oh, coral gum. Yeah,
a coral gum.
Yep.
That's better. And it's got a trunk and it's only about 30 centimetres high.
Ah.
And then it's done this crazy stuff, and it's got four very long branches that come out of this very tiny trunk, and they look really precarious. So I've got, you know, old sticks and stakes holding it up, taking the weight, and a big strap around the circumference of every branch to try and support it. Is there anything I can do? Is it all going to go head, you know, bums up? Like, what's going to happen, do you think?
No. Now, you know the ones, the limbs, the five limbs that are coming off, are they coming off at the very base of the tree, or are they coming off the main trunk?
Yeah, they come off the main trunk, which is about 30 centimetres out of the soil.
Okay, so,
Yeah, I know, right?
Is it grafted?
No, they don't graft them. No.
Because my Corymbia looks like that.
Do you know what? I would. Do you want it as a single trunk tree?
Oh, I hadn't thought about it. I just don't want a big wind to come and
it rips it out.
Yeah.
Okay, two options. Number one, you prune it all the way around, every single branch, including the top of the tree, and you're going to get sort of like a more of a shrub than a tree, or you take off those five limbs, you leave one main trunk, and you cut a third off the top of that trunk.
Yeah, even though they're all coming out at like a 45-degree angle.
No, take them off. They're coming out 45-degree angle. Yeah. Cut them off, Tess.
Just cut them all off.
Cut them all off and leave one main stem.
Even though that's on a 45-degree angle as well.
Yep, even you've got to leave something.
Wild.
Oh. So you either train it as a shrub, or you leave one main stem and you're going to train that as your central leader.
Okay, and it'll shoot out from that one branch, will
it? Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. It's better than losing the whole lot, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely, Tess. Yeah.
It's so scary.
Thank you, Sabrina. Thanks,
Tess. See you, Tess. We trust you. And I remember the first time you cut my pink princess on air, and I looked horrified. Yeah. And then I realised.
Like, oh, no.
But everything you've done since has worked. Now, we have to talk about Tropical Cyclone Mitchell. Sorry to break in again, guys, but this one's really important. Now, let's come to your calls. Thank you for waiting, everybody. Kate from Scarborough is up next. Hedges for a driveway. Hello, Kate.
Good morning. Yes, I'm just looking for some suggestions for some possible shrubs, plants, or some kind of hedge or something for a driveway.
Yep.
I've got a small, it's a narrow driveway. At the moment, there's plumbago there.
Yeah.
Which is driving me crazy because it grows so fast. Absolutely crazy. It's like, you know, it's going to kill me, I think. And just, you kind of keep control over control. So also, I need some advice how to get rid of that.
Yep.
I believe it's very difficult.
Yes. Perseverance is the name of the game there, Kate.
Yes, I've definitely got that.
Mm-hmm.
10 years of perseverance. Oh, done
wow.
Now.
Wow.
It's over. I'm done.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Has to go.
Okay, so with the plumbago, you need to cut it down to about 10 centimetres high, leave some branches, a bit of stuff on it, a bit of greenery, and then you're going to plant out where it is. Where, you're going to plant out where the plumbago is or not?
Yeah, directly where that is, yeah. So it has to be gone.
Right, okay.
You.
Do you know anyone that's got a little mini excavator?
Oh dear, no. Oh. No.
Okay, so well, you know, the root system goes down a fair way, that's all. The only people I know that have had success have left a little bit of growth, like 10 centimetres, and they've hit it with blackberry tree killer mixed with kerosene. So, yeah. So 40% blackberry killer, 60% kerosene. Now, they hit it with that. Now, the only problem with that is you won't be able to plant there for – you won't be able to plant there for about 3 months, 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
And it makes the wood all dry and sticky, and then it's easier. You're still going to have to dig, though, Kate.
Okay, so the excavation might be better.
Yeah, so you know that you can get these little mini excavators, and they're bloody brilliant. And they fit in narrow spaces.
What an adventure, Kate! You sound like you're up for it. Go to a higher place, you know, Scarborough Beach Road, and you just ride that all the way home. Could you imagine?
Yeah, I'm coming for you. I think it'd be on my bucket list now that I could do that.
Yeah.
Now, replacement.
Mad Max style.
Now, replacement for that hedge, but you won't be able to plant there for a few months. How tall do you want your hedge?
Probably about a metre.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a few things. There is a beautiful plant that called Myrtus communis nana. So it's a dwarf myrtle, M-Y-R-T-L-E, but it's Myrtus, M-Y-R-T-U-S, communis nana. Then there's... Then in the coastal areas, Raphiolepis cosmic white does really, really well. And so does Melaleuca nessophila little Nessie. Melaleuca little Nessie.
Is that the one with the purple flowers?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. All right. Well, look, good luck, Kate. And if you need to listen back to the podcast, it's all on the ABC Perth website, or it will be at exactly 10:01.
And then there's grevilleas, of course, all the dwarf grevilleas.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Yeah, so torch lights, city lights.
Yes, city. Well, that'll get a bit too big for her, but, city lights I love.
It's so pretty. So pretty. Let's go to Phil in North Beach.
So pretty. Hello, Phil.
Hi.
Are you so pretty?
Sabrina, how are you?
Very well.
How are you? Did you get my photo?
Oh,
it's that game. All right, here we go. Let me see what I can do.
Plant, maybe
she's too popular, Phil. There's so many texts. Tell us all about it, and I'll find out.
So you're not sure if it's a hakea or if it's a leucodendron or leucospermum?
I have no idea what it is.
Right,
it has,
okay.
Like pincushion flowers
that
are really pretty. It took about 2 to 3 years to flower, but it flowered last year.
Oh, it's and what's the colour of the flower?
Orangey.
Okay. So that sounds like a leucodendron or a leucospermum. Are they're quite big flowers?
They're beautiful. They're amazing, and it just covered the plant. But I've seen better ones around the place.
Fair enough. Do better next year.
It's very pretty. My sister's got the same thing.
Yeah.
And she's never pruned, and it now has these drapey, horrible branches that go.
Yeah, you've got to prune them when they finish flowering. So you need to, you need to come down a bit. Now the only thing is you can't prune them midsummer because the branches actually get a bit burnt. No. So now depending which one it is, because a lot of them actually flower early spring and a lot of them flower in autumn, but the best time to prune is when they finish flowering, and you can take a third off.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have pruned it previously, and where we prune now, it's got lots of little branches coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. So it'll be a much denser, thicker bush, and you'll get more flowers.
And it won't look like my sister's, which is.
That's right, Phil. Yours is going to look so much better than hers.
After it flowers and a third off.
Yes. Yes.
Okie dokie. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. Phil. Love your program.
Aw,
bye,
thank
lady.
You, Phil.
Oh, love your turn of phrase. I love that we can throw shade at plants and they can't talk back.
That's exactly right.
It's unless they're listening and then they'll die. Just joking. Elliot, Australind, orange tree. Oh, what's happening?
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
I planted the orange tree about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It's in a sandy, well-drained and well-watered area.
Yeah.
It's got lots of green growth on it. We got one orange about 2 years ago.
Oh.
Last year we got four oranges.
Oh.
And this year I can't see any oranges on it at all.
Oh.
Well, it's not really cutting the mustard for you, is it, Elliot?
It's very disappointing. It's a lovely tree, though.
Yeah.
It's very green and lush and that.
So you're fertilising it like three or four times a year?
No, not that often.
I might up the fertiliser if I were you. You're in Australind. And I, you know, if it's looking really healthy and beautiful, you're obviously putting good tucker around it. So, you know, because the soil's pretty poor there. And orange trees require a lot of magnesium and manganese and iron. So the manganese and the magnesium are important for fruiting. I would get a liquid foliar trace element spray onto that. Now, is it a summer fruiting orange or a winter fruiting orange?
Winter.
Okay. All right. So I would start doing a foliar feed on it at the end of summer and then all through autumn.
So you feed it and it feeds you.
Yeah.
Okay. And how often would you treat it?
Well, I do it once a month with a liquid foliar spray. And you need to granular fertilise it. So they'll start. So with oranges, it takes a year from flowering to when you harvest the fruit.
Oh.
So after fruiting, although in Elliot's case there's been none.
Yeah.
So after fruiting at the end of winter, they'll develop flowers and then the fruit starts again. So Elliot, I would give them a granular fertilizer at the end of winter so that it will encourage flowering coming into spring.
And then you'll get at least five oranges.
Yes, that's right.
It'll be so good for one day. Julie in Bull Creek, what's happening with your hydrangea?
Oh, thank you so much. I have a beautiful hydrangea. It would be 2 metres high, very, very green. It was pruned last year, I can't remember when.
Yeah.
And it is a gorgeous, gorgeous bush, not one flower.
Yep.
That's my problem.
Not a single flower.
Not a single flower.
Not a single.
That's a bit of a – that's disappointing as well, Julie.
An F on the report card.
Okay, so I would be giving I'd be giving it some cow poo and fertilizer from the beginning of spring. Now, you want a fertilizer that's actually low in nitrogen but has high potassium, a little bit of phosphorus, and then all the other trace elements. So you have to do that early spring, and then you fertilize them once every 6 weeks from that point, and then they'll develop those flowering buds. Get sulfate of potash, liquid potassium, any of those from the beginning of spring to get those buds forming.
Okay. Look, we've only got a few seconds left. Very quickly, Ross, you've got a peace lily that's browning, an image that I inevitably won't find. Is it indoor or outdoor?
It's indoor. It's
okay.
Indoor.
Now, are you giving it enough water and humidity?
Yeah. Well, maybe the humidity is the problem. It's in the bathroom.
Oh. Yep.
And I water it, as it says, you know, wait for it to droop a bit before you water it.
No. Now, I can tell you, peace lilies, people have the most beautiful peace lilies where they put the whole thing in their pond.
Oh.
So the peace lily is the one thing you don't wait for it to wilt.
So you bottom water it?
Yeah, you
chuck
bottom
it
water it.
Have a bath with it, Ross.
So if you want flowers and you want it to look lush and green, you have to water them.
I see, because it started drooping when it was over, when it looked like it was overwatered.
You can't overwater them.
Mixed messages.
Yeah. No. You can actually shove them in your pond and leave them there, and they do very well.
That's one way to put it, Ross. Good luck.
Yep.
Oh, savvy. So the next time we see you, you will be...
I'll be 70 years old.
That's right.
Woo-hoo!
A milestone.
Yep.
And I can't wait to see what the ABC gets you. Are you gardening this afternoon?
I certainly am.
Yeah, you are. All right. Well, look, it was fun and I will see you again. And FM is coming soon as well.
I know. It's exciting.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturdays from 9 o'clock.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth.
Or listen on your radio to ABC Perth on DAB Plus or 720 AM.
You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Call us in the studio on 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back midweek to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating.
And share the episode with all your friends.